We continue now with John DeGraff, a documentary filmmaker for PBS. Take Back Your Time Day is the brainchild of John and the Simplicity Forum and is the subject of our discussion today. To quote a book created out of the work of his last PBS subject, Affluenza, we are a nation that shouts at a microwave oven to hurry up. Today we look at what he is calling an epidemic. John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
It's an amazing subject, and I'd like to get a sense of where the first idea for the whole Take Back Your Time Day started. Do you remember the genesis of that?
Yes, I do. We have this group, the Simplicity Forum, which is kind of this unofficial think tank of leaders, people who have written about issues of voluntary simplicity or done film like I had done.
We're talking about people like Vicki Robin.
Vicki Robin, Cecile Andrews, Juliet Shore, who wrote The Overworked American, many, many leaders in this particular area and scholars. And we have a public policy committee because we've all felt that living more simply isn't strictly a result of personal choice, that we have a society that's sort of in a right now kind of simplicity unfriendly, that really is pushing us all toward more and more stuff. And people need help to make the change. In a social and collective way, as well as the personal things that they can do. And so our public policy committee was talking about this and thinking, you know, what can we do? We all agreed that the one thing that people, I think, are really missing out on in this country compared to other countries, and what we lose in return for having the highest material standard of living, is time for a balanced life. So we said, how can we begin to create public policies that will give people more time instead of things? And we realized, we had a meeting in Kalamazoo, Michigan last March, and we were talking about this issue, and we realized that within 2 years of the first Earth Day in 1970, which raised America's consciousness about the environment and what we were doing to it, within 2 years after that, we had the passage of the most significant environmental legislation in U.S. history. We had EPA, we had the Clean Air and Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, quite a number of others, all of these signed into law by a conservative Republican president, Richard Nixon, who probably wouldn't have done it, except that there was this great outpouring of public interest. And we felt that doing something like this about time and having a day in which we really begin to talk about this and raise this question from Union Hall to schoolhouse to university, we might set in movement the same kind of campaign that could win positive changes in the next few years to give us more time.
Yeah, and you're calling this overworking an epidemic.
Well, it is an epidemic in the sense that it's gotten so severe in this country that, you know, we just have so many people who are, I think, suffering from this, who are either working mandatory overtime or just don't have time for their families. I think the environment suffers from this because people who work longer, studies show they're less likely to recycle, they're more likely to use throwaways and convenience items. Example, Seattle, there was just a discussion of why is recycling declined in Seattle from 52% to 38% of things being recycled. And what could be the causes for this? No one even mentioned what I think is the key cause, that in that same period, working hours rose by a similar amount, and people do not feel they have the time to do these things. So, you know, everybody knows this. It's kind of the hidden skeleton in the closet that gets talked about in all kinds of personal conversation and in ads, but we don't talk about it as a society and what we can do about it. Just driving down here, I was listening to the radio, and there was an ad on for car toys, and it was about getting an additional cellular phone so this married couple with kids who never talk to each other because they never have time could talk to each other, but they can only talk to each other by cell phone. It's kind of, here's what the technology is going to give us, all these kind of things, but, you know, at a distance because we're all working so hard. I mean,
don't you think that's rather pernicious?
Yeah. I mean, and stuff is kind of, you get this kind of stuff all the time. And one of the things we're finding, and the Wall Street Journal had a story about this, is that pets are really suffering the result of all this overwork and time pressure. So we have a great neglect and abandonment of pets from this in this country.
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned many different things on the websites, and that's timeday.org, by the way. And you say that this overworking leads to growing neglect and abuse of pets.
And abandonment, yes, abuse and abandonment. Just got an email from a veterinarian who talks about all the dogs and cats that she actually sees that are physically hurting themselves, chewing on themselves and things out of boredom. And the number of pets that are being given up because people no longer have time for them, they go to the shelters or they get euthanized or go to the shelters and get euthanized because nobody has the time for them. So what are the answers to this? Not to actually give us time so we could spend a little time with animals as part of the family. But there's two solutions. One is in some more wealthy areas of the country, the fastest growing business is professional dog walkers who will take your dog out on the street. Sometimes in New York neighborhoods, people have five or six of them on a leash that are hauling them down the street. The other thing, the Wall Street Journal admitted this problem and said, but, you know, there's an answer. There's always a market answer. Their answer was you can buy these little gadgets which will talk to your dog. You can program your voice into it. They'll throw a ball to your dog. They'll even shock your dog if it goes on the couch when it's not supposed to. And these things can cost up to $500. So every problem seems to simply be in our society just the avenue for the creation of a new market to sell you something instead of actually getting to the roots of it and saying, what's causing this in the first place?
Well, it's a good thing you didn't get into food because that's a potential solution that not too many people would want to go to discuss.
Well, you know, the whole fast food epidemic fits in with this completely, and I think people know that.
So dog walking as a profession, there is perhaps life after radio, so I'm going to perhaps get my resume together for that. Some of the other assertions on the website: overwork threatens our health. It leads to fatigue, accidents, and injuries, and costs, get this, overwork costs our economy more than $200 billion a year.
Al Gore, in his book, says $344 billion a year is the latest figure. This is from stress and burnout and all these kinds of things. Insurance companies know this. In fact, I think many of the insurance companies realize that their medical payments and things like this go up when people are working to the point of burnout. So this is a cost for business, but nobody wants to be the first, I think, to really talk about this and to make a change. And
who picks up the tab for that?
Well, in some ways we do as Americans. For people who don't have health insurance, we all pick it up in some way. And many times some of the most severe people who are worked the most in this country, who sometimes have to work two jobs to survive, are the poorest, and they don't even have health insurance. They don't have paid vacations and these kind of things. All of which things are simply standard and accepted part of life in Western Europe.
I thought for a second you were going to say these people who are overworked are the ones who we hear about on the news who went into the workplace with a rifle and started taking out on their coworkers.
Well, we've had that kind of thing too. You know, going postal, that old line, because of that, really kind of came at a time when the post office had an enormous amount of mandatory overtime and also these incredibly fast sorting machines and things like that. Postal unions have succeeded in getting a little bit of that under control, and we don't see as many people going postal anymore as a result. Same thing, it's happening a little bit for nurses who were working around 300 hours, almost 8 weeks of mandatory overtime a year on average, till very recently. Many of them still are, but some of the nurses' unions have finally gone out on strike over these issues of this constant forced overtime and gotten situations where overtime cannot be used. It's supposed to be an emergency. It's not supposed to be used as standard practice, but hospitals were using it as standard practice. Now, do you want a nurse taking care of you who's that exhausted, who's been working all those kind of overtime shifts? I don't think it's a good idea.
No. Might not get the right medication or something like
might
that.
Might not.
Screw up. Talking with John DeGraff, PBS documentary filmmaker and interim coordinator of the Take Back Your Time Day initiative. Why not take the day off October 24th, 2003 and perhaps 2004 and so on and so forth. Just take the day off and maybe spend it with your pets or your family or turning the TV off. I'm Paul Nelson. You say that this overwork is weakening our communities. Now, when it's weakening our health, we can see that. What are some of the aspects in which this overwork epidemic weakens our communities?
Well, it gives us less time for a number of things. I mean, in the case of safety, there are fewer people around to kind of watch things because they're all out working. In terms of volunteerism, we've seen a decline in that. Not in the number of people, but certainly in the amount of time spent volunteering. And we've seen declines in various kinds of socials, the whole bowling alone phenomenon that Robert Putnam writes about. Much of this is also a result of overwork and in part to overconsuming and being, you know, all around the family entertainment center instead of out in the neighborhood. But I think this does really affect the community. It's a lot of work that we're doing that in some ways, as my friend John Rowe says, distracts us from some of the work we really need to do in terms of building community. You cannot create community, friendship, decent relationships, all of these things unless you have time.